You just tuned into Set for Success with your host, Richard Lannan. But hey, I already know that you knew that already because you listened to that intro. Thank you for doing so. We're going to continue our journey to help you create a roadmap to change your business, your career, your life. And how are we going to do that? Chatting with one person at a time so we uncover people's lives, their business, their journey, their successes to help you create the success that you deserve. And you do deserve to be successful. Listen, I want you to say that to yourself right now. You knew I was going to actually ask you to do this, but I want you to say, I deserve to be successful. You do. Whatever success means to you. That's the key thing about success, right? Being set for success is by definition, you need to sort of get clear on what it means to you. And there's many ways to be successful. If you listen to the show, you know I always like to start off with a set for success quote. And so I have a set for success quote today, but it's a bit more of an excerpt from a book. And so bear with me as I actually go through this. With just a tap of the gas, the car flew off the road and skidded sideways into the encompassing woods, and I felt a sudden impact as the tires scraped against the mounds of dirt, rooted, buried roots, and jagged stones. The blood-red moon slightly broke through the scattered leaves as we bounced across the hidden marshes that could have stretched on for miles. But I have no recollection of any time because everything, the sounds and the surrounding scenery, swept by so quickly. Gripping the steering wheel, his feet and the pedals, spine arched, and my hair whipping my face in the wind from the freshly broken glass of the passenger side window, I couldn't help but smile with a childish pleasure of being hurtled through the air as if we were on a roller coaster built for two. And that quote is actually from Tricia North. It's from a novel called Flame, Chronicles of a Teenage Caster. Now, if you don't know who she is, she's an interesting author, and she's based out of the Pacific Northwest. Along with being a writer of fiction, though, she's also a full-time artist, poet, photographer, and musician. And one of her favorite pastimes is actually proofreading and updating editor on Ellen's page online. So if you know who Ellen is, I mean, she's working for Ellen. So pretty big there, in that respect. I don't think I've ever used an excerpt from a book or a novel before, and especially into that level of detail, used to complete text as a quote for the show. But I felt the piece captured the experience of driving beyond one's abilities into an anger or thrill-seeking state. The outcome can be serious for all participants or anybody involved. All it takes is to allow yourself your emotions, the need for speed, and the lack of attention on the road to create an outcome. Suddenly, you or someone else is done, complete. Taken from life, living birth, and brought into the ashes of death. In some way, you have taken away a life or a life away. And you will pay for that for the rest of your life. Driving without skills, rushing with anger, getting out of your car, fighting people, spitting on people's vehicles, cruising in a distracted mode, or seeking the thrill of speed puts you on a roller coaster. A roller coaster that could change the life and the life of somebody else forever. I know, pretty dark, eh? Pretty deep on that one, wasn't it? Listen, here's what we're going to do today. As I gave the show some thought, I wondered who could come in and share their experience, basically with the road and their life journey. This time, someone who's changed careers, started a small business, spent a lot of time on the road, mostly someone who helps people become better drivers. I'm hanging my hat today with Rick Grievenhagen of Rick's Driving School. Rick, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'd like to try to get you on here. I've been bugging you to come on my show now for like 2 years straight because I keep getting into conversations with you about all these different stories and stuff about what happens on the road. So I'm finally glad I got you here.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. So, Rick, you know, I always like to start off with a very simple question. First, we obviously want to get people listening in or tuning in to get to know Rick a little bit. So, Rick, just tell us a little bit about yourself personally.
Well, I was born in Winnipeg, a lifelong Winnipegger. Parents came from Germany, so they were immigrants, and grew up in Fort Garry. And lived last about 33 years in Fort Rouge. Worked for a dairy for about 25 years. I was married, had two children. So,
and away you go.
Yeah.
And the, is there a dog in there and a cat? No. Just, well, married, two kids, and dog, a cat. Just sort of fits it in. Basically, a real true blue Winnipegger.
Yes.
from all encounters and everything with you. I know that you went through a career change, and maybe that's a good place to start, because you mentioned where you worked previously for 25 years, because you really retired from that particular role and what you were doing in your previous company.
Yeah.
And then you needed to, and then you needed to find something else. What was the journey? So I'm going to go back a little bit. What was the journey like, that transition from going from basically having a full-time position, retiring from that position, and then really shifting into developing your own thing?
It was quite interesting. Working for somebody for 25 years, having to show up at a certain time and leave at a certain time, and then all of a sudden transitioning to working for myself, being my own boss, being able to set my own timetable, and the challenges that came with too. Very interesting, but very satisfying, very fulfilling. I love it.
Yeah, based on what you do. Now, presently at this point in time, maybe that's where we should step in here, and we should tell the people, or listeners, the listeners, what it is you do now, and how many years you've been doing it for.
Okay, I'm a driving instructor. I'm an owner-operator. I run Rick's Driver Training. I've been doing that since 2011. I took the driver training course at Red River, and started working for someone, just for contracting out through someone for a little bit, and about 4 months later started my own business as Rick's Driver Training.
Rick's Driver's Training. And from since that time, because that, sorry, did you say 2011?
Yes.
So you've been doing this for 9 years, 8 to 9 years at this point in time. I gather that basically lots change in 8 to 9 years. You've started off probably with a couple of clientele, and let's just fast forward really quick. So we got 8 or 9 years under your belt. When you first started off, how was the clientele like? And so what is it like for you now? Is it like you're extremely busy all the time with this business, or did you sort of start off, or are you sort of just sort of a medium the road level?
Yeah, when I first started off, I had someone, another small business owner who did the same thing that I'm doing. He gave me a few clients to get me started out. And, you know, it takes a while to build up your clientele. So I did also work through the high school system with MPI, doing students through them to gain some experience in that. And the further on I went, the clientele came a lot easier. Now, 8 years later, I'm super busy.
Yeah, you're super busy. I guess my point I'm getting to is you're on the road a lot with new drivers. Is that a good way to put it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I think maybe that's where we'll take a short break, because I think what I'd like to do is when we come back, we're going to talk a bit about new drivers in Manitoba. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Rick Grievenhagen. We're actually talking about driving in Manitoba, really, or anywhere, really. Isn't that the truth, Rick? It could be like anywhere.
Could be anywhere.
So just before the break, we were talking a little bit about building your business, right? And over the last 8 to 9 years, and in particular, working with new drivers. Because as a driving school instructor and as a person who owns a driving school, really the bulk of your clientele are new drivers. Is that the case? Or?
Yeah, I'd probably say about 75% are brand new drivers.
And so what's a brand new driver? Because when I hear brand new driver, I think I just turned 16. That's what I think. Or is that the age now? I don't even know.
15 and a half if they're enrolled in driver's ed.
But, 15 and a half.
Yeah,
okay.
So around 16. New drivers can entail a lot of different things. Young drivers and that. They can. I get a lot of immigrants coming to the city now, so I've got a lot. And I classify them as new drivers, even though they've been driving in their own country, coming here and driving here with the rules and that they need to learn. They're basically a new driver that way. So probably like I say, probably teach at least 60% immigrants, which are kind of mostly new, and young students. I've taught everywhere between 15 and a half to 90. I taught a 90-year-old woman who broke her hip and lost her license, and she wanted to get it back. And she was a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, she was a whole lot. Yeah. So basically, see, that one sounds like a fascinating story in itself. I mean, I think everybody can, okay, so you taught 15, 16-year-olds or 35-year-olds or whatever, but when you hear 90 years of age, I want my driver's license back, and so they had to go back through the training. What, out of curiosity, because you got to know this person, she broke her hip, so what was the reason why she had to go back through the training? Was it because she broke her hip, or was it some other things?
Well, she broke her hip, and then it was a funny story, but she started bragging about how she had her license while she was in the hospital, and they found out about it, and they got the doctor to yank her license because of her age. So she had to go back for it, but she used to drive motorhome with her husband to Texas all the time, and even after he couldn't drive, she would drive, and then all of a sudden this happened, and so she had to go for a specialized test to see if she could get her license back.
Okay, and I gather she passed?
I don't know for sure. Never heard back from her, but I gave her four lessons, and you know, she could drive pretty good still, a little slower because of her age, but I'm hoping she did well.
She might have been okay. When we look at in terms of young, or let me rephrase it, new drivers, because we're not just talking about young drivers, what are the challenges that new drivers have when either starting out and or coming to our country, because you mentioned that you work with a lot of immigrants, what are some of the key challenges that they have in terms of being, I guess, on the road?
Well, when you talk about the new drivers as being young people here going through high school and they're taking driver's ed and that, basically the biggest challenge is inexperience. They have no experience on the road. They've had experience watching their parents drive, but they've had really no experience driving on the roads here. So it's basically, you can't teach experience, but don't know a lot of the things. And so you're teaching them things that hopefully they'll get better and better at.
With experience.
When you talk about immigrants coming here, a lot of them can drive as good as I can, but they don't know the rules. And driving to the rules here is very important to keep yourself safe and others safe, too. A lot of those countries that those people come from, there's not as many controls as there are here, and that they use their horn way more than we do. And it's basically just to let other people know that they're next and they're going. It's not a being mad thing.
Yeah, it's not an aggressive thing, but in our world, it means that you're about to start, maybe, this is what I'm thinking, that either you're mad about something, or you're telling somebody to get going, or you're trying to avoid an accident or something.
Totally, yeah, totally very, very different that it is here. So you have to kind of, teaching them not just about driving, but teaching them about the culture here. It's interesting that when I'm teaching immigrants, we end up talking a lot about the culture here and the culture from where they came from, and they have to kind of do a different kind of mindset when they're driving here because it's totally different there.
Mm. And that's reasonable because if you've traveled the world or, you know, if you've been in other places, and what I mean basically travel the world, not North America, you'll discover very quickly that there's different driving approaches. And some places in the world I would never drive. Right, if you think about it. And I don't know if you've had any experiences with that at this point in your life. I find that the challenges to be quite fascinating because really we're talking about inexperience, rules of the road, and culture, right? And sort of play in there. You said something very interesting about the youth of the world, though. You said a lot of times their experience, the only experiences have is through watching their parents. Pros and cons of kids watching their parents drive, is that a good thing?
It can be, and sometimes it can't be.
Let's go with it can't be.
When I used to teach driver's ed and had the young students, they would tell me stories about telling, you know, they would tell their parents all of a sudden, hey, you didn't go, you went, you didn't stop totally at that stop sign, or, you know, you didn't stop before you turned right on the red, or you didn't put your signal on, right? And it probably drives parents crazy, but they're noticing their parents' bad habits, right? And we all develop those bad habits over the years. So in that part, no, that's not a good thing. There are a lot of people that are good drivers out, and they're teaching their kids the right way and the good things to do, but we all kind of get a little lax when we are driving for a long time.
I think the emphasis there, a long time, because I'm going to think that the way I was taught to drive when I was 16 is very different than today, right? And the other piece would be on the bad habits side. And maybe what we can do is we can take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the bad habits that parents teach their kids to drive and what we can do about that. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Everyone, hanging out with Rick Grievenhagen today, and we're talking driving. We're talking about being on the road. We're talking about knowing how to drive. You know, lots of things going on. You know, Rick, just before the last segment ended, we were talking a bit about bad habits, and I can't help but think that we all have bad habits. And we can even say that's bad habits. We all have bad habits. So what are some of the things that you witness as bad habits in the driving world? Because you spend a lot of time on the road.
Yeah, a lot of time on the road, and I see a lot of things. And, you know, some of the things that we see, just the thing I was talking about before, not coming to a complete stop at a stop sign, right? People think, well, there's no one around, or, you know, it's not going to matter if I roll through a stop sign and things like that. And things like, you know, but it really makes a big difference, because if you don't come to a complete stop, you're creating confusion with another car or pedestrians that are there. So that can be there. Things like not shoulder checking when doing lane change. You're not checking your blind spot. And, you know, I ride motorcycle, and motorcycles, bicycles, a lot narrower on the road. Mm-hmm. They can hide a lot further in your blind spot. People don't do their shoulder checks and just move over, and that can create a lot of havoc.
Yeah, there. And I think another one might be, and I think a lot of people here, is people don't put on their signals when changing lanes. Right? They'll just whip over, right? And so that would be a bad habit too. I found the one about rolling through the stop sign very interesting, because I know when you're going down roads like Stafford or Portage or, you know, or Pembina sometimes, those intersections, people shoot out through the stop sign sometimes, and they barely have time enough to stop, and they must be within a foot or less of your car sometimes. And to me, that would be a super bad habit too, either not paying attention or something along that line.
For sure. Or even if there's not a stop sign there, but they're just coming out onto, let's say, Pembina out of a parking lot, they're required by law actually to stop before the sidewalk.
Yes.
To make sure it's safe for pedestrians too, and to check the traffic. It makes it easier to check the traffic there. But That's a very common bad habit.
That's a very common bad habit, no doubt. So basically, we're talking about bad habits, right, in the driving side. And I know before we talked a little bit about your business, we're going to slide back into that afterwards in terms of developing of it. But, you know, when it comes to young students, what are the options? What's available to them in terms of learning how to drive really well? What's the solution to actually improving their skills and capabilities?
Okay, well, the first thing the students, of course, see is what the way their parents drive, or their uncle, or their brother or sister. So they get it from that. But for teaching, on the teaching side, Manitoba does have a driver's education program through high schools, that if you're enrolled in a high school and you're 15 and a half, you can take the driver's education course and then get a bunch of classroom instruction and then in-car instruction too. And it's very cheap. It's that my parents paid the same back in the 70s that they pay now. Parents pay now for the driver's education program. If they don't have the opportunity to do that, they're out of high school or they couldn't get in, there are a lot of driving schools in Winnipeg. There was about 300 driving instructors in Winnipeg.
That's pretty amazing.
There's a big choice for people to have.
in that respect. So basically, it's going to a driver's program within a high school while you're there, and then taking in-car lessons and or going to private training. How long does it take for somebody when doing driver training to basically be ready to at least go and take their driver's test? What's like the average amount of time, or what's it like a driver in-car driver training program look like?
Well, everyone's a little bit different, and it depends, too, sometimes on the age. I find that when people come to me, if they're brand new drivers, we usually end up doing 6 to 8 lessons, hour and a half lessons, and to go over most of the things they can. I encourage people to practice on their own as much as they can. That's the best thing for them. Repetition is very important in our business, doing it a certain turn or a certain maneuver over and over and over again. It's like learning an instrument. The more you do it, the better you get at it.
Yeah, the better you get at it. And that's basically for you new drivers, not because I know that just talking to friends and stuff who have kids, right? And then sometimes it comes up in conversation, well, how many lessons should I take and everything before I go for my driver's test or something like this? And I think this might be a bit of a biased one that you might have, but I'm going to ask it anyway. As a solution, does actually taking the lessons and the training help benefit the person? Like, in what way do they benefit from going through and studying formally how to drive?
Well, first of all, is knowing the rules of the road, right? Very important. If you don't know how to do the maneuver properly and legally, you're going to get into trouble that way. So knowing the rules, the basic understanding in the classroom was really good too. And then, like I said, in the car, doing it over and over and over again, it really benefits the person because you'll be driving. Well, you live in our city, you live in Canada, you have to drive.
Yeah, it's pretty much the way it is. A big topic today is distraction. I think, to me, it's huge. I mean, whenever I look at anything and I'm looking at what's going on and stuff, or I'm watching the news, the word distraction, that was a distracted driver. This happens because they were distracted. You spend a lot of time on the road with people because you spend, what, maybe 8 hours a day on the road?
About 8 hours.
That's what I'm guessing, right? Based on what you actually told me. What do you witness in terms of the whole distraction thing? Does anything come to mind that you can say, well, listen, I've seen this particular situation a lot out there?
I do see a lot of people on their cell phones. Cell phone is a big distraction. It's not the only one, but it is a big one where people are looking down and not paying attention.
Texting, and right, while they're driving.
Texting or even just looking at their phone a lot of times and seeing, message come in. People with a lot of people in the car. Kids in the car. I see a lot of that distracting where the parents are being distracted.
You know, that's one too. I recall actually in driving in a suburb that I know very well on one of the main roads. And so I'm going to share a little story here. And I was coming up fully the right of way because you know how suburbs have drives and then they have, I don't call them avenues or ways, the side streets, right? And this person drove right through the stop sign right in front of me and crossed the street all head on. And fortunately, I was able to brake and everything. And they were distracted through talking to their kids. I could see exactly what was going on in the vehicle. And I slammed on my brakes and everything. And I'm sure lots of people have had this experience. And there was somebody else on the road just then. They're shaking their head. But that was potentially a very serious accident. People get distracted easily when they drive.
Very, very easily. One of the things I teach my students is to always looking ahead far enough and scanning the road back and forth. There's so many things to watch for that if you're doing it properly that way, you don't even have time to look at your phone because you're...
Scanning, you're watching.
Yeah, you're scanning.
It's interesting you would say that because I forgot, now it's entrenched in me, right? But I've forgotten that whole piece, I'd be curious as the cell phone one is obviously a big issue. And I'd be curious to see if the new laws on cell phone usage and that, if it's really helping. Because as you mentioned, you're a motorcyclist and I'm a motorcyclist and we drive cars. But what you see when you're on a motorcycle and what you see on a car is very different. barn, and you see more on a motorcycle because you have less things obscuring your view. So maybe with that, we'll take a short break, and we'll talk about the difference between being a driver on a car versus a driver, a rider or a driver on a motorcycle. And we'll talk a little bit more about driving safely. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Rick Grievenhagen, and Rick and I have been talking about really driver safety, the driving business, where the solution is for drivers, whether you're an immigrant or a new person learning, and understanding the difference between inexperience, the rules of the role, and how culture plays an important part of driving. You know, Rick, there's many types of vehicles on the road, and I know this is one that I have an issue with when I hear people talk, because I drive a car, right? I drive a motorcycle. But I drive a bicycle, right? And hey, I walk, you know? So I have a very different view of the world. From your experience, the distinction between driving a car versus a motorcycle, what's the differences that exist in those two modes of transportation?
Well, I would say the biggest difference is that we are smaller, we are narrower. People can't see us as good.
I think it's like, you know, 1/3 the size or something of a vehicle. I think that's the stat that they throw out.
So people that, you know, the MPI has some ads out sometimes saying check twice in your mirror, right? Do your shoulder check twice, because, like I said, we can hide further back, so they can't see us, and we're the ones that will get injured if we are hit with a car. Like, we lose.
Well,
right?
So motorcycles.
So it's very different that way, and much smaller. So people just can't see us as good. We have to be very, very careful on drivers.
Is there a distinction? Because I, you know, talking to younger people, and actually talking to people my own age and in between my age too and stuff like this, you know, I'd love to ride a motorcycle, right? I mean, I don't know if you get that, but I get that a lot, right, from people. I rarely get people saying, you're nuts. Or they'll say, I love to ride a motorcycle, but you're nuts. They'll put it together. But is there a distinction in terms of the people that might be listening that are interested in motorcycles as a mode of transportation, and or for our existing riders? Is there a distinction in the way you ride or drive within traffic or within the city itself?
I think on a motorcycle, you have to be much more careful, or extra careful, I should say. You should be careful in a car, but you should be really extra careful.
Vigilant.
On a motorcycle. People, I would say, that would want to ride a motorcycle and they think, oh, that would be a real cool thing to do and great, just give it some thought. And it is a dangerous hobby to do. It is dangerous to being on a motorcycle, especially in the city and especially with our streets in the condition they are.
Yeah, that's the other thing I was going to talk to you about. And I'm glad you made that distinction, because interesting enough, and I always like to share a little personal things, and I ride a motorcycle, and you know this because you and I have ridden together, but I'm actually believe that I'm a better driver because I ride a motorcycle, because I pick my routes differently, and I make different decisions, and I'm now finding that that's moving into how I drive a car. And I know that sounds a little weird to say, but I'm just more sensitive to what's going on around me. Does that make sense to you?
It makes a lot of sense. You're checking a lot more. You're more wary. And I think that would be a good lesson for people that are even driving cars. Do an extra check. It doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah.
And just to make sure.
Yeah. I know that you don't train motorcycles, people to ride motorcycles, but are you familiar with the training programs at all that exist in Manitoba for those?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, when you do get your beginner motorcycle, write your test, you do have to do a course. They have a couple courses, a shorter one and a longer one. You're required to take the shorter course. It's a one-day course to get your beginners, and it's an excellent course.
Yeah, and the two-day too. I've done the 2-day. Sorry, I bring it up because I know that you and I ride together sometimes, and that's, you know, plus also I know what you do in terms of your business and stuff. So you've been working on your business for a while. You know, I wanted to go back into your company overall, and you and I sometimes talk about where clients come from. So you're a small business owner. I'd like you to share with us, like, really where you see your clients coming from.
Like I kind of mentioned earlier, probably 60% of my clients are newcomers to the city from other countries.
Let me rephrase the question. How do they find you?
I do have a website, ricksdrivertraining.com. So they can find me on the web when they do a Google search. I have an advertisement through Google.
Yeah, you get a lot of clients via Google search. That's the sort of one I want to get there too, right?
Right.
I find it very interesting that you've created a successful small business for yourself, and Google is one of your top areas in which you actually generate clientele. The second area that you generate clientele from, I'm trying to lead you a little bit here, but you're looking at me like, what words are you trying to get me to say? And that referrals and relationships.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that actually. Yeah. Probably, you know, 30% is referrals. I've taught families where I've taught the parents, and then or one child, and then 2 years later the next child is ready, and then 2 years later another one. A couple times I've taught the whole family that are newcomers, and I've taught all five
people in the family itself. So that's what I find so fascinating about the small independent business person, or a small business person with a few employees, right? I think sometimes people think that you have to go out and have these extraordinary approaches and stuff to marketing and all this stuff. But really, you've discovered in your business, and I want to summarize this for our listeners, because there might be somebody out there wanting to start something small, not necessarily in your industry, but you've discovered that over an 8 to 9 year period, and correct me if I'm wrong, where by using social media, and particularly in this case here, we've clearly identified Google as being key, and Google Ads, but then also developing relationships and with people, you've been able to develop your business through really a combination of being available through a search engine and then also being available through referrals. Is that correct?
Yeah. Like I'm a big people person. Love chatting with people. I tell people when they get in the car with me, I'm the driving instructor who never shuts up. But love speaking with people, but always bringing it back to teaching and that. Yeah. And because driving is such a big part of our life, it'd be interesting to know how much, what percentage of our day is driving and that. You know, it's a personal thing too. It's not just you know, it's part of the life.
Yeah, I think you're struggling a little bit about talking about yourself here. One of the things I hear feedback on this guy, and I have no problem saying it. A lot of times I hear people say that you're incredibly calm. And I can't imagine that has to be important for to be a driving instructor.
Very, very important. Yeah. I mean, we do have an extra brake in our cars that we use. So we do have a little bit of a safety valve, but the student's nervous enough already when they're learning how to drive. Having a calm demeanor is so important in our business. It helps the student relax. And when a student's relaxed, they absorb more of what you're teaching them. And they learn to drive safer too. They're much more calm and they're not worried about those things. If I show I'm not worried, then they're not worried.
And that probably creates better roads for all of us.
Right? Yeah, safer roads.
That's probably the better way.
For sure.
Not so much better roads.
Yeah.
Safer roads for all of us. You know, Rick, you've been an awesome guest. You know, I've been wanting to get you on the show for a while and just sort of chat about this, because I think that the business is fascinating to me. But not only that, I mean, it's really an investment in the success of others, right? I mean, you're really investing in people's lives so that they're better on the road, so they do have a future life, you know, and that's important. You know, the transportation is so important to us. Rick, if you had a final thought for our listeners, what might it be?
When you get behind the wheel of that car, give a second to think of how you're going to do it and to drive safe.
Drive safe. Great word and great piece of advice. Rick, thank you for joining us today. It's awesome having you on here and I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Listen, for our listeners, if you have a question, a thought, or an idea for the show, send me an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. And I want you to remember something very important. Do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.